Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
In Ruth chapter 3, verses 1 to 13, we read that Boaz says of Ruth, "Thou art a virtuous woman." You know, Ruth is the only woman in the Bible about whom this was said. Now, I believe there were other virtuous women, but it's not recorded in Scripture that anyone called them virtuous. Ruth has that distinction. So we're going to read this text, and then we're going to discover in it, what was it about Ruth that made her virtuous? Let's read Ruth chapter 3, verse 1. "Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, 'My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he went with barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor, but make not thyself known unto the man until he have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. And thou shalt go in and uncover his feet, and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do.' And she said unto her, 'All that thou sayest unto me, I will do.' And she went down unto the floor, and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly, and uncovered his feet, and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid, and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, 'Who art thou?' And she answered, 'I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman.' And he said, 'Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman, howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down until the morning.'" Now, you'll remember the part of the kinsman was very simply this. There's a law that if a woman is married to a man and he dies and they are childless, his brother shall marry her, and then the firstborn son that they have will be the heir to the deceased husband. In this case, it goes on a little bit further to not a brother, but to a near kinsman to carry on the family line. And so that's what's going on here. And this may seem a little bit strange for you. This is not the ordinary way a woman lets a man know that she would like to marry him. However, this was very customary, obviously. This is something that Boaz understood. This was something that Naomi understood. Ruth just simply did what she was told to do and let her intentions be known. And this is the way that the intentions were known. And so, today what we want to do is we simply want to look at Ruth's life in this chapter, perhaps the verse before chapter 3, and say, you know, what was it that Boaz recognized and that the rest of the city recognized so that her reputation was that of a virtuous woman? And we'll just look and see. First of all, I think you can tell from the text, it was her modesty. Her modesty. In verse 3, Naomi said to Ruth, "Wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor, but make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking." Her modesty. You know, it's very important to understand something about her preparations here. She washed. That's very good because she'd been out harvesting all day and anointed herself. So she put on something that would smell good and put her raiment upon her. So she just clothed herself. Notice, it didn't say anything about getting decked out with a bunch of jewels or spending, you know, all day with her hair or putting on tons of makeup, anything like that. She made herself presentable, okay? But she didn't go overboard with it. And I think this is very important when you consider Ruth is known as a virtuous woman. Turn with me to the New Testament, to 1 Timothy, and notice something. We'll look at another passage in a while, and when we do, we'll pick up another comment there. But notice in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible says, "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works." So what you have here that's notable, or something that we will take note of about Ruth, the Bible doesn't go into a great deal of description, but if the Bible calls her a virtuous woman, then we know she doesn't go overboard with her dress. And you know, if you follow the trends of fashion, then what you have is you have a lot of immodesty in the trends of fashion these days. Things are too low in the top, too high at the hemline. And there's also a lot of other gaudiness included in dress that causes others to take notice, to draw attention to yourself. And there was nothing about the way that Ruth dressed here, the Bible says, that would cause anybody else to take notice of her. I mean, she had to go from Naomi's house to the threshing floor, so you can imagine that if she was dressed immodestly along the way, somebody might have, you know, propositioned her. And so we take note of this modesty that is in the Bible concerning godly women and apply it to Ruth simply for this. If your desire is to be a virtuous woman, then you've got to be careful not to follow everything that the world presents as current fashion trend. You understand fashions change. You understand that the fashion of this world passeth away. And you understand that the fashion of this world is designed to catch the eye. And that's where you have to be so careful, because the Bible says, "If a man looketh upon a woman to lust after her, he hath committed adultery with her already in his heart," indicating, when I stressed with her, that she is complicit in the sin because she did something to catch his attention. Now, we don't recommend, and the Bible doesn't recommend, that women be frumpy, okay, or dress in such a way to attract attention completely the opposite direction. You can draw just as much attention to yourself by the way you dress in order to not look stylish as you can by trying to look stylish, okay? So you have to be careful with that. The point is you don't want to draw attention to your body or attention to yourself, but rather to the Lord in you, okay? In 1 Peter chapter 3, which we'll examine in a few minutes, when a woman is to approach her husband when he's not living according to the word, she does it not with her outward appearance, but by letting him see the inward man of the heart. Okay? And it's obvious when you read the story of Ruth here how present God is in her life and how evident it is that she is a godly woman. And what does not distract from her godliness, okay, is her dress. And the way she keeps from distracting her from that godliness is that she maintains modesty. Now, I know I'm reading something into verse 3, okay? But you have to remember there are places in the Bible, like, for instance, when Jezebel gets dressed, it talks about the extent to which she goes to doll up. In Isaiah, the Bible talks about women going to ungodliness. It talks about all the other things that they wear in order to attract attention to themselves. In Isaiah chapter 3, it's the tinkling ornaments and chains and bracelets and mufflers and bonnets and ornaments of the legs and headbands and tablets and earrings and rings and nose jewels and changeable suits of apparel and mantles and wimples and crisping pins and glasses and hoods and veils. And you see, it gets crazy, and there's no indication that Ruth is doing that. Now, I know I've spent some time on it, but that's because fashion seems to really, really catch the attention of women. You've got to be careful, so careful, if you want to be a virtuous woman, to make sure that you're adorned properly, but modestly, okay? The next thing that we see about Ruth that lets us know right away her virtue is that she is her industry, okay? Her modesty and her industry. Go back to chapter 2 and verse 23. She kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Notice she worked the entire time. She worked willingly with her hands. In Proverbs chapter 31, a chapter to which we will refer numerous times throughout this message, a virtuous woman, okay, works willingly with her hands. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Proverbs chapter 31 verse 13 says, look at verse 17, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. All right, so she was industrious, Ruth was. And that's one of the measures of a virtuous woman, one of the characteristics of a virtuous woman in Proverbs chapter 31, her industry. Now you need to be careful at this point not to let a career get in the way of your family, okay? In other words, today, and I know there was a lot of resistance among Bible believers to this, but we do have a lot of two-income families. That is, the husband and wife are both working. And ideally, if your wife can stay home and raise the children and homeschool and take care of the house and all those other kind of things, then, you know, she should do that if you can afford it. But based on the type of, you know, situation that we have in the United States now, it's more and more difficult because of the expenses for people to be able to live on one income. It's, you know, you can work at it and make it happen. And if you do, then be industrious, like Ruth was, around things in the house. Listen, Ruth, as a virtuous woman, if she matches Proverbs chapter 31, would also be the type of person that would make her own clothing. If you look at the virtuous woman in Proverbs chapter 31, she's sewing. She is making things out of wool where she has to use the spindle and the distaff, the cleft stick that holds the wool. She makes clothing for her household. She makes coverings of tapestry so she can do upholstery and curtains. Her clothing is silk and purple. She can work with all those things. And listen, if you want to make it with one income, honestly, then you don't necessarily have to go to the store to buy everything to equip your house, and you may not need as many things as you might imagine. You can get by on a lot less. But if you do work and provide another income for your family, make sure that your career doesn't get in the way of your family, where now suddenly it's babysitters and daycare centers and schools that are raising your children, because you're going to not be happy with the outcome. And you're going to say, well, so-and-so, I mean, how come my children didn't turn out well? And that's because you let so-and-so have more influence in their lives than you did. So you've been very, very, very careful about that, okay? Another thing we can notice about Ruth that would be a characteristic of her being a virtuous woman was her economy. in chapter 2, verse 23, and notice again, she gleaned until the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest. She wasn't a consumer. She was a contributor. She lived within her means and supplied her family's needs. She wasn't a liability, and she wasn't lazy. Look in Proverbs chapter 31, verses 16 to 19. She considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. So this woman knew the value of the field that she was buying and was able to utilize the field right away. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. Now this is a consumer economy that we live in. And you know something? You need to learn to live without an abundance. I mean, if you'll think back, schools used to teach home economics. That's right. They used to teach home economics. And if they taught that, home economics, then they taught you how to budget for the household, how to shop for groceries, how to take care of household chores, how to cook. You know, that's a novelty. I was listening to somebody just the other day talk about the economy, and you hear a lot of bad things in the press about the economy. But when you drive through the city and you look at the restaurants and you look at the movie theaters, it doesn't look like we're in a bad economy at all. And the retail outlets, people are still spending a lot of money, but I think they're probably spending money that they don't have. A lot of this is done on credit. We'll just figure out a way to pay for it later because we need to consume and consume and consume. Well, Ruth was not a consumer. She was a contributor. And so she was virtuous like the woman in Proverbs chapter 31 because of her economy. We say she was economical or frugal. Paul said that he was content in whatever state he was in. He knew both how to abound and he knew how to be abased. Truly, if our economy goes the way that it appears that it's going, you're going to have to learn to get by on less. And the best time to do that is now. Learn to live without an abundance. So already we've seen virtue in Ruth's modesty, in her industry and in her economy, but also in her trustworthiness. Look at verse 5 in chapter 3. Naomi said to Ruth in verse 4, when Boaz lies down, mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet, lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And verse 5 says, she, that is Ruth, said unto her, that is Naomi, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. So she did what she was told, and Naomi could count on her. And listen, one of the great benefits of being a virtuous woman, and one of the great challenges of being a virtuous woman, is trustworthiness. Can you be trusted? In Proverbs chapter 31, the Bible says in verse 11, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. In that context, the trustworthiness is not only obedience, but it's also that he didn't have to entertain her and he didn't have to pamper her. Do you understand? In other words, when you think of trustworthiness on the part of Ruth, she did what she was told. But listen, it goes further than that. We live in a society today where the parents are waiting on the children. I mean, you've got to drive them to school. You've got to drive them to their extracurricular activities. You've got to drive them to their friends' homes. They demand time of you, and I don't mean that they come in and say, hey, take me over here. I mean demanding in the sense that you can hardly plan your schedule without planning their schedule. Their schedules are very demanding. One person said, we have become a chauffeur for our children. And look, what happens there is children get the idea that you are here to wait on them. And that's not true. They should be here to wait on you. And that should be expected. Now, if you say, clean up your room, they ought to do it without ever being told a second time. If you say, it's time to go, they ought to be in the car. Ruth was that type of woman. She was that responsive. She didn't say, I don't feel like it today. I think I'll go tomorrow. Or let me go when it's convenient for me. Or I'll get to that mom when I have time, but right now I need to go over to my friend's house. Don't you understand? We have plans. And Ruth didn't do that. So I say to you, if you want to be trustworthy, obey the authorities in your life and remember that you are here to wait on them. They're not here to wait on you. Something else about Ruth that we can notice that made her virtuous, and it was her good name. Look in verse 11. Now my daughter Boaz says, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Everybody knew it. Her good name. All the city knew her reputation as a good woman. In Proverbs chapter 31, verses 28 and 29, the Bible says, her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. And in verse 31, let her own works praise her in the gates. Oh, what is that? Well, it's simply that there is a good reputation with the children. There's a good reputation with her husband. There's a good reputation in society. Her works praise her in the gate. Listen, Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1 says this, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. You know, no one should ever hear bad things about you that are true. And right here, let me just interject this. Social networking should be avoided at all costs. You say, I use it to keep up with my children. Yes, but you also use it for a broader scope than that. Have you not noticed when you look at other people's sites, or perhaps even your own, what people unashamedly reveal about themselves? And do you know what that does? That affects your name. That affects your reputation. No one should ever hear bad things about you, particularly from your own mouth, but even more importantly, from other people that are true. You know, you can live without social networking. You really can. As a matter of fact, Ruth did. She didn't promote herself to the society in which she lived. She just had a good reputation. Why? Because she was involved. She was too busy to be messing around with these kinds of things. I'll tell you something else that made her virtuous. Her purity. Verse 11. Now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city, my people, doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Look again in verse 12. And now it is true that I am thy kinsman. Howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I. Look at verse 10. Thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. She didn't run around with other men, either for their wealth or for their pleasure. You need to save yourself for one man. That's right. You need to save yourself for one man. Let me say it again, and I don't need to make a lot of comments on this. You need to save yourself for one man. So don't follow young men, whether poor or rich. You say, well, we'll just make out and do a few other things. Excuse me. Those are things that should be reserved for your husband and him only. Something else that made her a virtuous woman, her respect. Look again in verse 10. Thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning. She'd already done so much for her mother-in-law. Look in verses 12 and 13. Now it is true that I am thy near kinsman, howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning. Her respect, she honored her mother-in-law by striving to make her a grandmother, even though Naomi's sons were already dead. And she honored her late husband by attempting to carry on his name through marrying a near kinsman. When you marry a husband, you marry a family. And you need to remember that. And if you can't respect your future mother-in-law or father-in-law, you're going to have a problem in your marriage. Naomi took to her mother-in-law as she was her own mother. That's right. She respected her late husband, and she respected her mother-in-law, and said, I'm going to give this family a child through a near kinsman so Naomi can have a grandson and my husband, late husband, can have an heir. This is tremendous. Tremendous virtue. Now, there's some other things, but let me just make this comment. Notice from Ruth and from Proverbs 31, there are several things that do not make a virtuous woman. A successful career, higher education, social standing, a buff body, beauty, money, status, or possessions. The Lord makes a virtuous woman. And when she marries, she's a crown to her husband, according to Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 4.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our broadcast ministry or Bible Believers Baptist Church, we have two websites that are available to help you. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. In the meantime, stay tuned each weekday afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on KCTA for The Unknown Bible. Hallelujah.